several different, trying to do different manners, different ways. We looked at the keeping your body in subjection. Paul talks about 1 Corinthians 9:27. Talked about, he told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:19 to depart from iniquity, keeping ourselves clean. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is about giving thanks. Give thanks always. 3 John 1:14 is talking about using proper names. Called if you, we address each other by brother and sister, pastor, as you addressed a teacher as Mr. or Mrs. Proverbs 27:2 was for the children especially. It's talking about not drawing attention, the wrong kind of attention, or drawing attention to yourself. 1 Timothy 3:14-15 is talking about, he said, how do you ought to behave yourself in church. And that's one thing we believe in. We believe in behaving yourself in church. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40, I think it is. Don't quote me on that, but I know it's verse 40 in one of the chapters there. It says, all things are to be done decent and in order. You can have a good time in church, you can shout, holler, but you're still supposed to do things decent and in order and behave yourself in church. Galatians 6:10 is talking about helping others and helping people. Psalm 141 verse 3 talks about is think before you speak. He says, set a gate before my mouth so that you think before you speak. You know, that's something that's definitely lost in our day and time, both locally and nationally. People just, they don't think before they speak anymore. Proverbs 18:24 talks about he that desires friends must show himself friendly, and we as Christians should be friendly. Proverbs 27:5-6 talks about correction. As you're getting a job now, you're going to get corrected. And you should do it with the right attitude, not just at home, but in other places. And tonight, we're going to look at don't waste your time. Go to Colossians. Verses are here in Colossians and in Ephesians, but Colossians first, Colossians 4:5. Colossians 4:5 says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Now, this is talking about walk in wisdom toward them or without, those that are not saved, those that are outside that need to be. We're to walk in wisdom. We're to show that there's something different about us. And he says, do that by redeeming the time. That means make the most of your time, whether it's at work, at home, with your schoolwork, redeeming the time, make the most, because you are an example to others. On the job site especially, you are an example to others, redeeming the time. And he says, so walk in wisdom toward them without. We are to be that. He said, let your speech be always, or always, with grace, seasoned with salt. As Christians, while you're redeeming the time, while you're being an example and making the most of your time, he says, let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt. What does that mean? It means when you're talking to somebody, especially a lost person, that you're trying to win to the Lord, be careful what you say. But while you're at it, you're trying to win him to the Lord, or you're trying to be a testimony, sprinkle a little salt in there. Put a little word of God in there. That there's something that, you know, what does salt do? Salt burns on an open wound. Why is that? It preserves. It's there. It's to make a difference. It's to mean something. You know, if salt had lost its savor, wherewith it's good for nothing but to be cast, the Bible says, into the dunghill. It means nothing. So he says, while we are redeeming the time, use that time to let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. So it's going to come. Flip over back over to Ephesians chapter 5. He says something similar to the church here at Ephesians too. In Ephesians 5, skip on down to verse, let's skip down to verse 14. He says, "Wherefore saith he, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." He says, whatever it is you're doing, walk circumspectly. That means to be to have purpose in your steps, but to be very careful also with your steps. When you walk circumspectly, kind of like trying to avoid a bunch of glass on the floor. You know, you're being very wise. You're walking around with broken glass on the floor, no shoes on. You're walking very carefully because it only takes just one little false move to cut yourself. So be very careful. Walk circumspectly, not as fools. Those people, you know, that just walk around doing whatever they want to, but as wise. Redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Somebody's got to do something to win people to the Lord. So we cannot waste our time. We're to be a good stewards. We talk about all the time being good stewards of the money God gives us. This cut me before it's even coming out of my mouth. But we should also be good stewards of the time that He has given us. No man's promised tomorrow. Nobody knows what tomorrow may bring. The book of James says even our life is even as unto a vapor that appeareth a little time and then vanisheth away. And so we're to redeem the time. Why? Because they're evil. We're to make the most of our time, children, adults. We're all to. That's cutting me deep, man, right now. Don't waste your time. I waste too much time myself. Things that we should do, make a schedule, whatever it takes for you to use your time wisely. He said, "Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." So that's a thing that'll help you use your time wisely, is knowing what God's will is for your life. If you don't know what God's will is or what God have you to do, then it's very easy to misuse your time and to not redeem it, not to use it properly. Same thing, kind of like, you know, as I listened to the man on radio talk about using your money wisely. Hey, Ramsey, if you don't write it down, then you don't know where it's going. You know, most of us probably lived like that before we got on a budget and use it. Now we know where the money goes. It still just don't go anywhere very far, but at least we know where it went. Me and my wife look back at all the money we used to make and think, man, where did it all go? But now, you know, so if that's what it takes with your time, then make you a schedule. Just like you make you a budget for your money, make you a budget for your time, you'd say. Schedule it out. This time for this, this time for that, so that you're not caught up watching too much television. We talked about this. I'm not going to tell you can't have certain things. I believe that's between you. You ought to have wisdom and discernment. But if you're going to watch television, you ought to be careful not to get so caught up that you're wasting time with it. And so don't waste your time. Use it wisely. We're only given a certain time on this earth. God's already... Listen, these people that are worried to death right now with everything going on about death, it's appointed unto man once to die. God knows my time. I don't know when it is, so I need to make the most of my time. Why? Because I got a responsibility as a pastor. But I got a responsibility as a father. I want my children, if something happened to me today and I killed over dad aneurysm before we left this place, I want my children to know that I'm in heaven and that I did what I was supposed to while I was on this earth to reach lost people. I want to make the most of my time. So I don't want to waste it. We shouldn't waste it. It's precious. Outside of salvation, to me, I think time's the second most precious thing. Money will never buy you salvation. It's Jesus. Money, no matter how much money you buy, you'll never buy more time than God's already allotted you in your life. You may be able to buy a bunch of medicines and you may think you're extending your life, but God already knew and already had set the time that you was going to die. I'm not saying don't take care of yourself. Now, I'm not saying that. As a diabetic, God's already set my time. I'll just go live. No, God also wants us to be wise, and as wise as serpents, but as harmless as doves. So we're to be careful what we do. All right, now let's go back to the book of Genesis. Who are we talking about in the book of Genesis, Allie? Joseph. We're on Joseph. We took a short break there. The Lord put us there. Something about Judah. We know that Judah was... Why was Judah important, Brianna? Because the lineage of Jesus, and he goes through what happens in Judah's life and how we see that Tamar there in the book of Matthew chapter 1. We see Tamar, which is one of the women that is mentioned in the lineage of Jesus. And now we're back on Joseph. Joseph's been falsely accused and falsely imprisoned. And last week we saw that Joseph dealt with who? Who were the two men that Joseph dealt with? The cupbearer, which is the king's, is two B words. Butler and the
baker.
Thank you. It's the butler and the baker. The king's cupbearer and the baker. And which one got to go back to his job?
The butler.
The butler. What happened to the baker?
He got hanged.
Pharaoh took his head. He got killed. And who told him what was going to happen?
Joseph.
How did he know what was going to happen?
God showed him
what? The meaning of their dreams. The meaning of their dreams. God showed Joseph the meaning of their dreams. Joseph didn't hold nothing back, even though the baker's getting ready to die. Joseph didn't sugarcoat it. He told him exactly what's going to happen. So what happens? Joseph tells the butler what? Huh? Remember me. Well, he told the baker he's going to die in 3 days. He told the butler, "You remember when you get restored back, don't you forget me." And he does, I guess you could say. Now, chapter 41, Genesis 41. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. So it's been 2 years now since Joseph met the baker and the butler. That Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kind upon the brink of the river. The word kine there is a type of cattle, what we would refer to as a cow. But this is a type of cattle that they would have had during that time. And so God's showing Pharaoh something here. He's giving him this dream. And he says, and Pharaoh awoke. And then it says, verse 5, and he slept and dreamed the second time. Behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. We use the word rank in a different way nowadays, don't we? With some rank, a lot of times that means it's a slang word for something that stinks in our day and time. That's why you got to be careful with the words, and that's why we define them. Rank in here would mean something that at this point means something good looking, something that ranks up there high, he says. And so verse number 6, behold, 7 thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them, and the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians. I was reading this earlier, and I kept saying musicians, and I'm like, I'm going to mess up tonight. But I got the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof, and Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that can interpret them unto Pharaoh. And so these are the sorcerers, these are those astronomers, those wise men, that's what these are. You know, somebody has a dream or thing they go to. What do we go to now? We go to a psychic. We go to get somebody with those tarot cards, whatever. Do you believe in that? I believe that a lot of things on this earth is demonic. And I think we underestimate a lot of times the demonic activity in this world. I really do. Jesus had, you read the Old New Testament. You read the New Testament, what Jesus dealt with. When he was dealing with a lot of those people that were, some of them that were lame, they were deaf, they were dumb, what we would consider mental illness of our day and time. What was a lot of that? Demons, demonic. Jesus cast the demon out and the deaf would be able to hear, the dumb would be able to speak. It was demonic. And so I believe just as much 2,000 years ago, demonic. I believe we face a lot of demonic stuff that we don't realize. Man, when you see some stuff, I've been watching one. The girls, some of them don't like watch at night. I don't know if y'all remember, it was a show back on the late 90s. Had the guy, Jonathan Frakes. Forgive me, I'm calling on him. He's the guy from Star Trek, The Next Generation. Hosting this, he didn't host the first season, but anyway, it's called Fact or Fiction, and they get beyond fiction, and they give you five different stories, and you have to guess which ones are real and which ones are fake. And man, some of them just absolutely, I'm like, it's demonic. There's one, and I thought, well, they're just making this up. Nope, absolutely not. There was a guy. And it was recorded by several police officers. This guy, they walked into the room and he's just sitting there, just, and it's raining inside of a house. It's raining inside of a house. The rain's going sideways. And they're like, they couldn't explain it. When the guy gets up, finally walks out of the house, it completely stops. The guy goes into a restaurant, and in the restaurant, it keeps doing the same thing. And they finally ruled it as this guy was demonic. I thought, well, I believe it. Absolutely, I believe it. I don't know if that's possible as far as I could do. And sure enough, they said it's based on a real story. I don't know how much of the story they portrayed on the show was real. But they said, I believe it, man. I believe there's a lot of demonic activity in our day and time. We wonder why that people are. Hey. We wonder why people are so callous in our day and time. We wonder how people can burn down. How can you burn down, claim that you're for, whether you agree with the movement that went on during the summer and continues going, whether you agree with it or not. How can you claim to be for a particular race and you're out here because they're being oppressed and then you go out and burn all their homes and burning down their businesses? How can you do that? It's demonic. These people are, to see some of them, the way some of them are acting, man, it is demonic. But that's what they are calling. When you see them calling for this, in the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar, he does the same thing. Who does he call for? They call for the astronomers. They call for the wizards, the sorcerers. They call for the, that's what the, and it's demonic. And so I believe it here. So he's calling them in and asking them, tell me the interpretation thereof. I can't remember, is it the story in Daniel? I think it is. I can't remember. Anyway, one of them, they're all trying to give him some false reading. I know that one of the kings of Israel, he goes seeking for advice on whether to go to war. And I think it was Judah and Israel after they're split up. And the king of Israel goes, oh, we can't go down to, I think it may have been Elijah. He said, he never reports anything good on me. All these other prophets are telling him, yeah, go to war, king, go to war. God's with you, da da da. They was all lying. And he goes to Elijah or Elisha. I'm pretty sure it was one of them too. But he goes to them and he says, he never says anything good about me. And he prophesies, told him if he went up against them, if he goes up into battle, God's going to deliver them into the other people's hands. And so he didn't like going to visit the man of God because he told him the truth. And that's the way we are. We should, listen, as those of us that are saved, we should not be afraid to give somebody the truth. Look what God delivered the three Hebrew boys out of. They threw them in a furnace of fire. God delivered them. God can still do it in 2021. Now, whether he chooses to or not, I don't know. But God can still deliver us if we get put in those situations. I'm not backing down. As long as God, I don't want to say delays, but the longer that time passes before God comes back, we're going to find out who real Christians are. I'll put it that way. Because real persecution's about to find its way. I seen a video today of a man that was a lawyer for PBS. He resigned from his post before they fired him now. But it came out today that every Trump supporter's kids, he said on video, that every Trump supporter's kids should be taken from them and taken to a re-education camp. We're in America, and people, listen, I don't care if you want to be for Joe Biden, that's your choice. I'm for Trump, but I'm not trying, I don't endorse one. As far as the pulpit, I'll preach what's as a Christian, what we're supposed to stand for. That's between you and God, what you want to do. If you want to go vote for someone on the left, that's your thing. If you want to vote for someone on the right, I'm not going to get political in that sense as far as telling you who and you can and can't vote for. I'm going to preach against abortion. I'm going to preach against sodomy. I'm going to preach against divorce. I'm going to preach against alcohol. I'm going to preach against everybody sin I can. But we're in America, and a man that's a lawyer is calling for my kids to be taken and took to a re-education camp. There's something wrong with that. I'm telling you, that's demonic is what that is. For somebody to think, I want to shut down somebody else's speech so much that I'm calling for their kids to be taken, that's demonic. Anyway, he calls for them. He calls for all these now. And nobody could tell him. The dream, verse number 8, nobody could interpret. Verse number 9, then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. You know, that butler could have said, I don't want to bring this back up. You know what I'm saying? Would you want to bring up something that caused you to be put in prison to the man that put you in prison? That butler could have said, I ain't saying a word. This is bad news for me. But he says, you know what? Joseph helped me out. I better not be ashamed. He said, I remember my faults this day. He didn't accuse Pharaoh. He said, my faults. He says, Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief butler. And he said, we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there a young man, with us a young man, a Hebrew, a servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him and his interpretation to our dreams. And he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream did he interpret. And it came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto my office, and him he hanged. He said, you remember that baker that you had a fit with? You hanged him. He said, but me, I found grace in your sight. Pharaoh, you let me come back. I appreciate that. He was not. I don't blame him for being a little bit nervous about saying this. And then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. And they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. Do you remember this? I got it marked in my Bible. A brother out of Florida, the meeting we was at 2 years ago over here in Lindsborg, preached out of this next verse. I can't forget it, man. Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. We as Christians would do good to remember that. It's not in us. It's not in us to do good. It's not in us to save ourselves. It's not in us, but it's in God. Joseph said, it's not in me, Pharaoh. He said, I can't tell you the interpretation of it, but there is a God. There is a God. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Boy, Joseph must have knew something before he said, didn't he? He interpreted the baker's dream. Baker's going to die. You think that was a message of peace to that baker? Do you think it made that baker feel at peace? But Joseph knew that. He said, Pharaoh, God's going to give you an answer of peace. He's going to help you to be at ease, whatever it is. Joseph said, though, it's not in me. That's what we need to realize. It's not in us. It's amazing. It's amazing that even in nature itself, God left a picture of salvation in God and man. When you look out in the day, you see the sun, right? The sun's what produces its own light. The Bible calls Jesus the Sun, S-U-N, of righteousness. At night, what do we see? We see the moon. Does the moon produce any light? Where does the moon get its light at? Where do we get our light at? The sun. We wouldn't produce light of ourselves. We always, you know, this light, I'm going to let it shine. Where do we get that light from? We get it from Jesus. It's not in us to produce good. It's in Him. The Bible says, we're all as a corrupt thing. We're all together. There's none righteous, the Bible says. No, not one. There is not a man born of a woman outside Jesus. There's not a man that has an earthly father that does good and sins not, the Bible says. But we get our light from the Lord. Joseph said, it's not in me, Pharaoh. It comes from God. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And that's what we need to remember. It's not in us. That's why we need God. That's why we need salvation. We can't save ourselves. We can't do enough good works to get our way into heaven. It is not. Listen, I don't care if you sit in this pastor's home, this preacher's home, till you're 35 years old. It's not going to get you to heaven. I don't care if you never get married and you stay with your mom and dad the rest of your life. If you don't want to take Ivan, it's not going to get you to heaven. It's not in me. It's not in my wife. It's not in any of you to get ourselves into heaven. It's through God, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh alone. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. He didn't even know the dream yet. I don't know. How did he know God's going to give him an answer of peace if he didn't know the dream yet? God must have showed Joseph something before he ever got there in front of Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood, I stood upon the bank of the river, and behold, there came up out of the river seven kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in the meadow. And behold, seven other kine came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. Must be some bad looking cattle there, ain't there? The lean and the ill-favored kine did eat up the first seven fat kine. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them. But they were still ill-favored as at the beginning. So I awoke. And I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up in one stalk, full and good. And behold, seven ears withered, thin, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, I about said magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. Pharaoh was, I don't know, man. At the end of this down here, in verse 38, Pharaoh acknowledges that the Spirit of God is in Joseph. I don't know to what extent this Pharaoh may have feared God at this point. We talk about Egypt. Egypt is a type of what? The world. Egypt's a type of the world. Joseph is the Christian trying to warn here, trying to warn the world what's coming. Ain't that what we're supposed to do as Christians? We're supposed to be warning the world. Troubles are coming. Matter of fact, God uses seven years of tribulations and getting ready to come like this earth has never seen. During that time of tribulation, man, there's things that the Bible talks about gonna happen. The Bible says men will seek to die during the tribulation and they cannot die. Think about that. Think about all the ways that people are trying, that they'll kill themselves, commit suicide. The Bible says death will flee from them. At one point, there'll be little, I don't know, I don't remember how big it actually describes them, but there'll be little critters, I say, that fly around, the Bible says, and they'll be having a tail like a scorpion, and in them they'll be able to sting men. There'll be all these different things that'll be going on during the time of the tribulation. The third of the water will end up being turned to blood, and all the fish and everything in the water's going to die. At one point, the Bible says huge hailstones, just like bigger than probably what fell in Egypt. I assume there wasn't nothing that big in Egypt. The Bible says there'll be huge hailstones, stones falling from heaven during the tribulation. I mean, it goes on and on. That's why we're to warn people. Joseph could have said, I don't know, Pharaoh. I can't really give you interpretation thereof. But Joseph said, God's going to give you what it is that you need to have peace about this. And he said, it's one dream. 7 years. 7 years, Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he's about to do. Verse 26, and the seven good kine are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. You know it had to be God. Calls in the baker's and then the butler's dreams. They dreamed of the objects, and each object represented how long? A day. Each object represented a day. The baker dreamed and had three baskets, and the butler had, and so it was just days. But in Pharaoh's dream, the kine and the ears represented years. So you know that God had to have given him the interpretation thereof, because wouldn't be much of a dream or much of a mean to say, well, Pharaoh, we're going to have 7 days of plenty and then 7 days of fasting, would it? Wouldn't be much of a dream, meant much of nothing, would it? Most of us in here could probably, except for a few of us, most of us in here could fast for about 7 days and it wouldn't hurt us none. But I know I need to lead by example. He said some come out by prayer and fasting. I know. I know myself. I need to. That's probably the most under-practiced thing I know of Christians. There are a lot of Christians that pray. Very, very few of them that actually practice what Jesus said with prayer and fasting. And so maybe one of these days we'll get to preaching on it. I try to avoid it too much. I try to avoid it. I shouldn't. But then I get under conviction. Oh, Lord, why ain't I been fasting and praying? Some of us can't because of the diabetes, and that's understanding. And it can be trying with somebody to get it doing it. Anyway, but he says here, he said it's 7 years, verse 26, 7 years, and verse 27, thin year, and seven thin and ill-favored kind that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty ears blasted from the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years. I'm going to stop right here for the time being. But he's giving Pharaoh insight. And he's telling Joseph the dream and telling him what to give Joseph the interpretation thereof. That's what he's done to us. God's given us the interpretation. God's told us what's going to happen. Let me mark this before I forget. Let's see. God showed us exactly what's going to happen. He's done give us the book of Revelation. He's told us exactly what's going to happen during the tribulation, things that will be going on. He's talked about the Antichrist. He's talked about the mark of the beast. He's given all of that. We don't even have to worry. You just have to give it to people. That's what we as Christians are supposed to do, Joseph. Look, it's not in us, as Joseph said. It's not in me. It's in God. We think, well, I can't do it, preacher. I can't do it. Listen, the Apostle Paul said he didn't do nothing that anybody else can't do. He just labored more abundantly in the grace of God. You have trouble witnessing somebody in your family, somebody on the job site. You know, I know you got to be careful with the job nowadays. Be very careful. I understand that. Be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But it's like I just read earlier about being seasoned with salt. Throw you a little bit of scripture in there every once in a while when you talk with somebody, dealing with somebody. But we have to be wise about what we say on job sites and things like that. I understand that. But it's not excuse us. How do I do it, preacher? I used to be the same way, man. You got to wax bold. You got to pray God to give you the grace to do it. I've been on the job sites. I've done it. I've been on a construction job with 15 other guys, and I'm the only one ain't cussing and talking about drinking and women and all these other things. I've been there. You think it's rough? Trying to be on a job site with a bunch of men cussing, and the guy you're working for is a cussing at you, and you have to say, speak up, because the Holy Spirit of God's convicted you because you're tired of hearing the nasties talk, and you look at him and say, at least I'm a Christian, and I appreciate it if you could just watch your mouth. And I've done it. Most of them I've asked nicely, done it with a respect, have been respectful to me. I've had one guy, though, he just flat out just, I ain't doing it. I'm going to talk any way I want to. You can't control everybody. The good part is even no matter what law, wherever, whatever state, as far as I know, any and every state, they can't. If you don't want them cussing at you, they can't do it. Now, you can't stop them from cussing around you. But even like North Carolina, it's right to work state, they cannot cuss at you. You know, they can talk down to you and everything, but if you say, hey, I'm not going to be talked to like a dog, they cannot. They have to respect that and not do it. But they can make your life miserable. We got to pick our battles as Christians. We have to be, just like Joseph said, we have to be empty of self and filled with the Lord. We have to say, God, it's not in me. It's not in me to do my math work, Lord, but if you'll give me the knowledge, I can do it. It's not in me to be the Christian I need to be. But God, if you'll give me the grace and the Holy Spirit of God, fill me with the Spirit of God, I can be what I need to be. That's what we need to be as Christians. We've got to realize it's not in us. We've got to let God work through us just like Paul did. Paul did great things for the Lord. He even acknowledged that he did greater things than all the apostles that walked with Jesus. He said, but the only difference was I just labored. He said, I'm nothing special. I just labored more abundantly in the grace of God. That's what we need. We need people that will labor here more abundantly in the grace of God. No matter what may come our way, we ought to be, every one of us, the testimony. If you claim the name of Christ, you claim to be saved, then you ought to be an example for Him everywhere you go. Father, take the word that we've learned tonight, God, now about being respectful or using our time wisely, and about learning with Joseph and God even standing before Pharaoh, God. He didn't waver. He just trusted in You. And so I pray that You would help us to have that kind of boldness, to wax bold, as Paul said, in the grace of God as we serve You. It's not in us. It's in you, Lord. Help us to be as Christians what we need to be. I pray tonight, any in here that may be lost, God, that you would deal with their hearts and bring them to that place of repentance before it's everlasting too late. God, we're in the midst of a dark generation, which means, God, just like on a dark night and that moon shines bright, Lord, if we'll reflect you and let the light of Jesus shine in our life, God, we can be a light in a dark and dying world. Help us to do that, I pray. Bless now the time fellowship this evening. Bless the food that we received to nourish our bodies. We thank you for it. And thank you for Jesus and Calvary. And it's in Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen.